Sunrise Radio. Good morning. You're listening to Anila Dharmi on Sunday, and we are talking next to Dr. Natasha Bijlani, who's a self-employed consultant psychiatrist, medically qualified doctor who specialises in treating mental health disorders based at the Priory Hospital in Roehampton. Thank you so much, Dr. Bijlani, for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Anila. Nice to speak to you again.
Great to speak to you, as always. So I'm sure that you must be seeing people and talking to people about this anxiety as lockdown eases. What can people do, and why is it there to begin with?
Well, you know, I think last year when the pandemic started to escalate, there was a lot of anxiety in the beginning. We just didn't know what was going on, and we were fed daily news items of fear and worry. And then it gave rise to grief because we started realizing we'd lost our normal life. Mm. And then, of course, in this country particularly, we've had one of the longest lockdowns anywhere in the world, over three months. That changed a lot of our behaviors and things we took for granted. We now feel so fearful of getting back out there. So I would say the first thing to realize is it's a very common emotion. The fear and fear of socializing, meeting people, is not something that is unusual. The best way to manage that is to think about breaking it up into small pieces. So in psychological terms, whenever somebody presents with a fearful situation, you apply something called gradual exposure.
Right.
So starting slow with something familiar.
Mm-hmm. And that can be like going to your local shop, couldn't it? Just something as simple as that, of just leaving your front door.
Taking small steps to gaining confidence. Mm. Starting maybe engaging with your very close friends and not in big groups. Obviously, we can't meet more than six people altogether, but maybe if you're very anxious and fearful, just meet one friend. Mm. Spend a short time with them. Be honest about your emotions. Tell them you're feeling scared. And if at the last minute you don't feel like going out, they will understand. You know, and then I think also another important way to manage your fear is to actually follow the pandemic rules. That will take away one layer of anxiety. So you won't be then fearing the infection if you wear a mask, you keep social distancing, wash your hands, etc. That can also reduce your level of fear.
Mm. I just wonder also, because there is this lack of motivation as well. If you've been at home for an entire year, even after just 2 or 3 months, I mean, I was at home last year for about 3 months, it can affect your motivation. And while you've got a lot of energy because you're basically sitting around, it can suddenly turn into lethargic feelings. I mean, how do you kind of boost yourself up to say, no, I need to get out there and I need to interact? Otherwise, all my social skills will just go.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost like our brains have got into, if you think of your brain as a motor, instead of having a revved up engine, you're now in the idling phase, and as we're languishing, we're not thriving, we're not flourishing, we're in that in-between twilight zone of mood. You're not quite clinically depressed, many of us, hopefully, but many of us are not feeling an optimal state of mental health. I think the best way is to start engaging, if you haven't already, in behaviors that will help your mood and your physical health. So find something meaningful, find something small that you can do. Keep going out for walks if you haven't been doing that. You know, meet friends for a coffee. Do some routine. Don't ditch your good habits that you may have had in lockdown, eating healthy, getting enough sleep. You know, don't overcommit as well. Keep a flow. Avoid fragmenting your attention. Lots of us start something and then we say, oh, we look at social media or we'll check in on our emails. I think by doing that, you're distracting yourself and you're not allowing yourself to feel that sense of achievement and accomplishment.
Mm.
So it's about being slow and careful and gentle with yourself.
And you use this word languishing. Tell us what languishing is.
Well, the dictionary term of languishing is to lose or lack vitality. It's when you exist in an unpleasant or unwanted situation. As you mentioned at the start, it's a sense of stagnation, emptiness. It's like you're muddling through your days, you're looking out through foggy, misty lens.
Mm.
And it's not quite burnout, because you still have some energy. It's not quite clinical depression, you're not feeling quite hopeless.
Mm.
You're just in that in-between zone. And it's almost like we've been so fatigued by the ongoing stresses of, you know, that's gone on for months and months, and At the moment, there is not any, yes, there is, the weather has improved and there's hope that maybe we can start moving out again, but there's still that underlying fear.
Yeah.
They're not functioning at full capacity, and we've got to make a bit more of an effort now to make sure we don't lose those social skills we had, because humans need not just food, water, and rest. We also need social contact to flourish and to feel connected with others.
And the thing with languishing is, actually, I'll just be honest, I read about it for the first time last week in a New York Times article. I'd actually never really heard of it or knew that it was something that people experience that comes under the branch of mental health at all. And it is those polar opposites of, you know, you have energy, but you don't want to do anything. But then at the same time, it's not depression. How do you, I don't want to say treat languishing, but I guess that is what I am asking.
Yeah, so again, you know, mental health is not a polar entity. We can all be in different emotional states at different times in our lives, different times of the day. So I would say the first thing is to identify your emotions. Spend some time checking in on yourself. Think about, how am I feeling in my head and why am I feeling like this? That's the first step. If you're able to identify your emotions and give it a word, give it a name, you can then think about what you do to manage it. I would encourage people to touch base with their inner critic. A lot of us are very self-critical. So think about your thoughts. Are they helpful? Are these thoughts that are going to help you function, or are they actually cutting you down? Try and address those and challenge them gently.
I've had a message from someone who'd like to remain anonymous. They've said, I sometimes feel low for absolutely no reason. As a result, I eat a lot, sleep a lot, and put on weight. How do I cope / avoid this?
So I think the first thing to do is to realise what you're doing, and the person who sent you that message clearly accepts and understands that they're using food as a comfort, which is very common. So if they're able to understand that that's a habit that they're that maybe has become maladaptive and is creating problems because it's led to weight gain, they're not going to be able to change it overnight. But what they can do is start thinking about their food choices, planning ahead for maybe what the sort of foods they have at home and what meals they're going to have, gently encouraging themselves to do some physical exercise as appropriate and safe to change and shift that balance. And maybe now they could ask a friend to join them. Sometimes it's good to have a buddy. You don't then feel you're alone. And if the problem is really something they can't manage, then of course there are many places where you can seek professional help. The place to start would be the GP, who can assess, you know, your physical health and then give you guidance on maybe seeing a psychotherapist to help you. If your condition needs a more expert opinion, a psychiatrist like me would be able to provide with support. So it's about breaking down that problem into small pieces, but recognizing that you have an issue is probably the best and first place to start.
Thanks, Dr. Bijlani, for that. And I really hope that helped the person who messaged in anonymously. Thank you to you as well for messaging in. It's not easy talking about these things, and even recognising it isn't easy to actually verbalise it and know that it's something there and it's a pattern isn't always easy. I've had a tweet from Ismail who said, in India, the pandemic is not over. Children are suffering a lot. There's no outdoor activities, no schools. How to deal with these things? But obviously that's based on India. But he does also ask, what is the one thing we should do to forget the COVID terrible time as lockdown eases in some countries?
What we should do to forget? Well, I think we should always live in hope. There is always hope. And fear and anxiety, we must remember, they're only temporary emotions. They can always be changed. We can't change what's happening around us in the outside world. But every single one of us can control how we think and what we think. We are in control of our inner dialogue, as I meant, referred to earlier. The best way to manage that is to take one day at a time, take an hour at a time. Try not to feel overwhelmed. Try and develop what I keep repeating in my everyday life with my patients is develop a stronger inner locus rather than an external locus of control. So think about what you can do to improve your mental health and things like making sure you get enough sleep, managing your negative thoughts, eating an adequate healthy diet, staying hydrated, avoiding getting into bad habits like maybe drinking alcohol or taking drugs or staying up too late, comparing yourself unfavorably with others. Those sorts of things can be quite damaging. So just take a day at a time, manage one moment at a time. Look at your breathing. Many of us, when we're anxious, we start holding our breath. We fear things about the future, but these are imagined thoughts, which may have some reality, but you can manage those better by having a better, strong sense of your own self. Find a focus.
Dr. Bijlani, thank you so much. I've been taking notes while you've been speaking. So helpful. Thank you so much for your time
morning. Pleasure, Anil. All the best to you and to everyone listening.
To you too. Sunrise Radio.